Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue our study of the book of Malachi, moving now into verses 2 and following of chapter 3. You remember that in the first two chapters of the book, God delivered a series of charges against the people of Israel through his faithful prophet Malachi. And the most serious charge of all is the last one that is found in the last book of, and the last verse rather, of chapter 2. It was worse than their failure to appreciate God's goodness. It was worse than their disobedience in bringing unqualified animals to worship upon the altar. It was questioning God, defaming God, questioning God's character, and dishonoring God in his character, questioning his truthfulness, questioning his integrity. It was the worst charge of all. And yet, as serious as these are, now Israel is charged with questioning God's motives and defaming him. That's the last charge in verse 17 of chapter 2. Charging God with injustice, charging God with dereliction of duty, questioning his righteousness and commitment to keeping his promises. And in response to all of this, God declares that he is sending two messengers to Israel. The first will prepare the way for the second. The first turns out to be John the Baptist, and the second is the promised Messiah. And this event, when it happens, will fulfill his promise, but will not be what the people of Israel expected. Messiah will deal with the sins of Israel, not with the sins of outsiders, as Israel seemed to think that the Messiah would do, that he was coming to judge the world, meaning the Gentile world, but certainly not Israel. He was coming to bless and elevate Israel and to judge everybody else. Well, he did come, will come, to bless and elevate Israel, but first he's got to deal with Israel's sins. And so what you've got is, in the following verses, the ones we're getting to today, in chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, you've got Messiah's twofold work of judgment and purification. But I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, December 18 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank those of you whose financial gifts make it possible for us to teach God's Word on this station, and to encourage you to consider a year-end gift to help continue the ministry of the Word through the Beacon Broadcast. Well, I'm going to start reading it at verse 1 of chapter 3, the verse we've already covered, and then move on down or read on down through verse 4. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, so that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Messiah's purging work. Messiah is coming, the one you are anticipating, the one in whom you delight, because you think he's going to come and fulfill your desires and expectations. He's coming, but you are going to be, you're going to experience a rude awakening when he comes, because he's coming first to deal with your sins before he comes to bless you. And so Messiah comes to judge. Back to verse 1. And behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And then verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Messiah comes to judge. He's coming with irresistible judgment. Two searching questions, similar, both of them are similar in meaning. They are rhetorical questions. They are to cause people to think. And what are the questions? The question number one is, who can endure the day of his coming? And question number two is, who can stand when he appears? Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can literally persevere through the day of his coming? Who can hold out through the day of his coming, to the end of what happens when he comes? Who can remain intact? Who can remain unaltered? Who can remain not destroyed? That's what this is saying. Who can endure the day of his coming? And secondly, who can stand when he appears? Who can stand, or perhaps a clearer word would be, who can withstand? Who can withstand the judgment that he will bring without being destroyed? Who will be able to do that? We find similar language, for example, in Psalm 1, when we are told that the unrighteous are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the unrighteous will not stand in the day of the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Remember that language? I'm going back to Psalm 1 to pick it up because I need to get it exactly. I'm not sure that I quoted it entirely accurately, but here it is. We are familiar with this wonderful psalm. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, here it is, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The ungodly shall not stand. The ungodly shall not be able to withstand the judgment. The ungodly will not be able to be still standing undestroyed in that day of judgment. And it's the same idea here. Who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? And the answer, the expected answer for these two rhetorical questions is nobody. And to clarify what is being said, it means no one is able to resist the power of this one who is coming. No one is able to withstand the fury of this one who is coming. No one is able to survive the judgment that he brings. For it is righteous judgment that consumes the unrighteous. And it is only by the grace of God that any will stand, and there will be some who stand in that day, but not in their own merits, not in their own works. We just go a little bit further down in chapter 3 of Malachi, and we come to verse 6 and read, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." If that were not so, then they would all be consumed in this day of judgment. But they're not all going to be consumed. Why not? Well, because of his mercy. I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, because he has made gracious promises to them, but also because, and only because, in his grace, he will change the hearts of at least some of these people and give them repentant hearts and believing hearts, and he will supply the righteousness which comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger, the Messiah, who is promised to come. And those who stand before God at the day of judgment, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, they shall stand. They shall withstand in the day of judgment, but only those. Anyone who is not so clothed will not be able to stand. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Important question. And that's an important question for the people of Malachi's day, but that's also an important question for you and for me today. Are you prepared for the day of judgment? I'm afraid people don't hear very much about that in our day. I'm afraid people take it for granted that, of course, they are prepared. Nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. After all, God is a God of love, and that's treated so lightly. He is a God of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's given his Son. That is the greatest act of his love. But only those who receive the Son, only those who are in the Son, only those who embrace the Son are going to be able to stand before him in the judgment day, and all others are going to be judged. Oh, we have so many critics today, just like in Malachi's day. How could a God of love send people to hell for nothing more than just not believing? I read yet another person saying something like that recently. Someone who had been in the Christian faith for decades and who was a popular songwriter of contemporary Christian music, wrote many songs with lyrics about the gospel and songs that many people listen to and sing, and yet came to the place where he's questioning it all. And he's questioning how God could send anyone to hell for nothing more serious than just failing to believe, as he views it. Well, folks, here we go again. Here we go again. Sounds like Malachi 2:17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? And that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Questioning God's integrity, questioning God's character, questioning God's goodness, and we see it in our day. And it's no wonder, therefore, that many people have not given serious thoughts about the day of judgment, as if it's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be concerned about. As some famous, I don't think he was an atheist, I think he might be considered an agnostic, said something like this: well, God loves to forgive sinners and I love to sin, so everything's going to be fine. That's the wrong attitude. And those who take an attitude like that are going to be very surprised and are going to be destroyed in that day of judgment. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.